The only thing worse than wasting your HOH is wasting your money. So why pay more for headphones when you could save 33% on high-quality earbuds when you use promo code RHAP with our friends at Tweaked Audio? Get free shipping anywhere in the world, especially Canada, when you start your headphone shopping using our link at robhasawebsite.com/headphones. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has the Podcast, and now here's the guy who's always buzzworthy, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Big Brother Canada edition of Rob Has a Podcast, recapping the third eviction here as we are moving along into the middle portion of Big Brother Canada. We are live here on a Friday afternoon on our Friday recap show. I am joined, as always, by the man who's always the HOH in my book. Here he is. It's Brian Lynch. Brian, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. How are you?
Oh, doing very good. Brian is very extra happy because his girl was saved. Brian's angel. I saw her referred to in the chat room.
Yes, I'm smitten.
Smitten?
Obviously.
Oh, my God.
I'll admit it.
Oh, my God. And then here he is, a guy who's always smitten with one woman or another. Here he is, the winner of Big Brother 14, Ian Terry.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob.
Good to have you back here on the Friday show, Ian.
Absolutely. I finally got caught up. Much needed.
Good. All right. So Ian's back, caught up. We're all set and ready to go. And a little bit of a surprise based on what we thought earlier in the week. Brian, from Tuesday, you said you thought Heather was going to be the one to get evicted. Late in the week, I guess it changed to Paul. Can you talk us through what happened?
I believe I did say it was going to be a 6-4 vote to evict Paul.
Oh, but, okay.
He did.
And after we had talked about that, if we had talked about it maybe a couple hours later, I might have said it would have been a tie vote with Ika breaking it to get rid of Heather. Kenny had went at one point to Sarah about maybe himself voting out Heather and maybe framing Allison. But then he went to the other guys and was kind of seemed like he was going to set it up for Heather to take the fall about not Heather, but Sarah to take the fall about it. So things moved around a lot after that, but it eventually settled right back onto that vote of 6-4.
So did any of the girls in the house think that Allison was voting with them? Was that a betrayal at all, or everybody knew Allison was voting with the guys?
No, Ika herself told Allison twice. She gave her the go-ahead to vote the way she wanted and said she wouldn't be mad at her over it. So eventually, it was kind of well known that Allison was going to be with the guys, and that's why it ended up being so much pressure on Sarah, and she became the swing vote at that point.
So, Ian, in your opinion, did Sarah make the right decision to vote with the first five alliance and sort of out herself as not being with the girls early on here in the game?
You know what? It's an early time to make a move like that, but at the same time, I don't think any eyes are really on her, even at this point. So I think it was a good move.
You like it?
I'm okay with it. I won't say I like it, but I can live with it.
Brian, what's your take?
If she can not have it blow up in her face, and it seems like she's doing pretty well about getting back under the radar with it. You know, there's a lot of drama has been caused with the eviction. So it's not necessarily reflecting on her at the moment.
Now, how come Sarah had to be the one to flip and Sabrina got to keep her cover and get to still be working on both sides of the house as far as everybody's concerned?
Because Sabrina, go ahead, Brian.
No, please go ahead. Please go ahead, Ian.
I think Sabrina is like the Amanda of this season. She's, dare I say this buzzword now, bossy. She's been getting her way in the house. Definitely, she reminds me a lot of Amanda.
Oh, boy. Buzzworthy.
Yeah. I've heard that bossy is the new buzzword. I heard it's not too popular.
Yeah. You're not supposed to say bossy?
That's what I've heard. Okay. That's what I've heard. Bossy is a no-no now.
About the Big Brother people or about women in general?
women in general.
Okay.
Just in general at all. I've heard, don't use it.
Don't use it. Okay. Well, we'll try to avoid that. We'll put that right up there with the Canadian N-word. That'll be the new B-word. Right?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. All right. So let's, before we get, let's, we're going to get into everything with the HOH and spoilers and all that stuff, but let's just talk through the events from the episodes and things that we got some more light into. And I will say, Paul did grow on me these first couple of weeks. You know, that the first week or whatever, he did not make a good impression, but I'm sad to see him go.
Yeah, I mean, he cleaned it up. He cleaned up his act.
Yeah, he did a good job. He had some funny moments along the way, and I thought Paul was funny when he came out of the house. So he was a good sport.
I agree.
Yeah.
There was a moment where Heather was trying to crutch down some trash or laundry down the stairs, and nobody was helping her. They was all just kind of staring at her. But Paul just stopped what he was doing, ran up to help her, and didn't even let her walk down the stairs. He just did it for her. So he got points in my book for that.
Yeah. Anytime you're helping out Brian's angel, he's going to give you points.
Every time.
Okay. By the way, I didn't even set up at the top of the show, but you guys know at this point. We got the chat room going, hashtag RHAP, and plus get your comments on YouTube so we can get them into the show. All right. So on Wednesday night's episode, we started off and we got a lot of stuff about the relationship between Allison and Andrew. Did anything that came out of that, did we learn anything new about Allison and her feelings for Andrew from her diary room?
Yes. We kind of learned at that point that she was playing him, or not playing him, but using it as a strategy, because she said that no one in the house was getting close to her. So he was the closest person to her, so it's kind of what she had to do. But later on, that tune kind of changed a little bit, and I guess we could talk about that. But it was in the next episode, the eviction episode, when we heard a little change of tune from Allison.
Okay, so now Andrew and Allison have this thing going on, and we also get to see some of Sabrina basically telling Andrew that, hey, she's not in the first five, don't even talk to her, don't even tell her about anything that's going on, don't screw this up. And I felt like Sabrina was really being very, very threatening. Do you feel like this was only about the game, her conversation with Andrew?
You're asking me. I've already said it was about jealousy. And
Ian, what's your take?
No. She's jealous for sure. I mean, Sabrina, she kind of has one of those, I would say, needy personalities. And it's totally jealousy. She's letting it get in the way of her game, no doubt about it.
Is that a trait that you should look to avoid in the Big Brother house, or something that is you could use in your favor when you find somebody who's like super insecure? Do you want them in your alliance, or is that somebody that you maybe you should avoid working with?
Well, I would say you want them in your alliance because, you know, they're always going to want to come back to you, but they're going to have to be cut eventually. That's definitely someone I would look for, maybe like a short term, maybe few weeks or so, but maybe not all the way until the end.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I did not think that was one of Sabrina's finer moments in the house, her telling Andrew that he better not be telling Allison about the alliance and whatever. I thought that seemed very, very, very petty for her to be saying that.
Well, I mean, you know what? When I was watching, I could kind of understand it because, I mean, they've got a good thing going. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I think this first five thing is a strong idea, and I don't think it'll last, but the longer they can run with it, I would say the better it is. And she has the right idea. I mean, if that gets out, there's going to be problems for all of them. Especially the girls and Andrew. So I'm glad. I think that it's something that needs to be said, maybe less forcefully.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it was the thinking is right. It was the execution, which was poor on Sabrina's
Correct.
Part.
Right.
So that was no good. We also had a lot about the buzzworthy competition. Brian and I talked about it the other day, Ian, but did you have any favorite moments from the buzzworthy competition, Ian?
You know, actually, I thought that Adele was doing it pretty right. I thought that was pretty, I think you kind of had like a Borat Ali G type thing going on, which I definitely enjoyed. A-plus for that. And I thought Arlie's was pretty good. I mean, you know, anytime someone does anything crazy with their hair, it's always welcomed, and nudity is always a plus, I think. It's always, as long as it's tasteful.
Who is the better streaker, Ian, you or Arlie?
You know, I think Arlie, you know, he didn't have a hat there, so I think he, you know, he showed us a little bit more. I'd say that it was definitely a little bit more brave. I think there's a lot more potential for something to slip out, so I'll give it to Arlie. A plus.
Okay.
I also didn't do any stares when I streaked, so.
Yeah. I think you got to give it to Arlie because he dry humped Ika up against the wall that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's, you know, I got to say about that moment. I was surprised to see that in the house because, you know, there have been moments on reality TV, and I'm talking Richard Hatch and Sue Hawk, which were far less than that, where that he's lucky Ika was cool about that. Because that is something that you could get yourself into a lot of trouble if Ika decides, hey, Arlie sexually assaulted me with that. That he could be out of the game for something like that.
No, let's be reasonable about this here. Big difference between him and Richard Hatch. I mean, Arlie's he's a good looking guy. He's gonna be able to get away with that more often. I will say though, this has happened. I remember reading somewhere, I think it was like in 2006 or 7, I want to say, Big Brother Australia, there was what was called the infamous turkey slap incident.
Sounds interesting.
Pretty late in the game, two gentlemen, their names were John and maybe Brick it was. I read it somewhere. It was like day 80 or something, very late into a 100-day game. They basically did the same thing where they turkey slapped a girl, and they were both immediately expelled.
Hold on, Ian. Do I have to go on UrbanDictionary.com right now, or are you going to tell me what a turkey slap is?
I believe that's when Brian is chuckling. I believe it's when a gentleman takes his member and slaps it across a woman's face.
Now, why is that a turkey slap?
I don't know. That's what it's called. If I remember right, and I remember like the Prime Minister of Australia, it was all over the news. The Prime Minister of Australia was like, I think this is a good chance for Channel 9 or 10 or whatever it was on, Channel 10, to do some self-policing and take this garbage off the air. Of course they didn't, but I remember that incident, and both men were expelled pretty much immediately. And the woman that was the supposed victim of this was like, no, I was cool with it. I was okay with it. But they still got rid of them anyway.
Okay. Well, there's something, you learn something new every day on the Big Brother.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy.
And Matthew Gregg in the chat room actually is talking about something that, where my head went as well. Matthew says, reminds me about the Tom Brady SNL sexual harassment sketch, which, if you don't remember that, where it's like Tom Brady is like working in an office and is being like super overtly sexual with somebody, and the woman in the office is like, oh, like thinks it's funny. And then there's a guy who, I forget which SNL actor it was, who's being far less forward than Tom Brady is, and he is being flagged immediately for sexual harassment.
Yeah, no, I mean, I keep abreast on these types of things. I read quite
turkey
a lot
breasts?
Of articles. No. You know, this idea that, you know, when is it not, you know, those types of things. I read a lot about it. And this is going to happen. Arlie is probably going to get away with it much more often than Richard Hatch is.
Okay. Well, it's a dangerous
not
game Arlie's playing.
Not that it's – oh, it's very dangerous, and it's probably wrong in both instances. But that's where it is. That's what I've read, and that's how it seems to be.
Okay. Were you surprised with the level of blurring or non-level of blurring on the Canadian Big Brother?
I mean, I know that most countries aside from the United States are a lot more liberal on those fronts. So I really wasn't surprised. I mean, the UK version, I mean, they'll show anything from what I understand.
A turkey slap?
I mean, the Australian version showed it. I mean, so on their up late, which is like they're after dark. So, I mean, I'm not really shocked.
Ian, did you have a blurred butt in the CBS version, or did they not even get that?
Yeah, no, that was blurred. They blurred that out.
Okay.
No, for sure.
All right.
That's what.
All right. Yeah. So hey, that's, you know, that you've got one up on Arlie now. You have a blurred butt.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. It's good.
All right. So Adele ends up winning the power. I know this comes on Thursday, but we talk about the secret power that he ends up talking to Ida. To Ika and to John about it. Did anything from those conversations, was that anything different than what we had originally thought earlier in the week?
Now, the one thing that struck me was they didn't show the part about Adele telling Ika that he had seen some tweets from fans, and one of them had said, "Congratulations, Adele, for being the one person in the house that can see straight through Sabrina." So he used that to put distance between the two girls. So I'm assuming he probably lied about that.
Yeah, because you would think that Big Brother wouldn't show a tweet like that, right?
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of tweets, let's get you guys into the mix here a little bit. Let's start with Mike Bloom, and he wants to know, why did the vast majority of the guys think that buzzworthy equals drag? Ian, if you were in the Big Brother house and they asked you to be buzzworthy, would your mind immediately go to, lots of different activities that could be, whether it's dressing like a woman, whether it's, covering yourself in oil, whether it's, running around naked?
Well, I mean, if this was read out to me, if like we're all in the living room and they go, you know, the idea is to be buzzworthy, I think I would have pulled a Mark Lambrecht and just immediately stood up and just taken my shirt and pants off right there. And I think that nudity was probably the direction I would have taken there. Just like right off the gate, just for like the funny effect, like as soon as it's red, stripped down.
Like the Arlie approach.
Exactly. I mean, the instructions are read, and next thing you know, I'm standing there naked because the power in the game is huge.
Well, at what point do you dip your sack in cranberry juice?
I'm not even going to answer that.
But Brian, as a live feed watcher, what are the things that you want to see? Is it nudity? Is that what would say that, you know, you would start tweeting? Because somebody was like, "Hey, I'm gonna get naked now."
I think if someone would have went and tried to do a game move with their video, or put somebody on blast with their video, and said, "Oh, BB Canetta," after it, you know, just made a joke out of it and played it off like it was no big deal and that it was just a joke, I think something like that could have connected with voters.
What about some sort of like a prank?
Yeah, a prank might work.
By the way, did you guys check out the orange juice prank from Paul that was on the sideshow this week?
I didn't see it, no.
Okay, Brian, yes, you know about this.
I did.
So if you didn't see this, so Paul was on Slop, and earlier in the week he was like, he was basically, what did he say? "I'm on the edge, bro," and he was going to eat the cake. So he was like, "I need to have a sip of orange juice." But what he did was he took like mustard and water and put it in the orange juice bottle. And so basically, if he was going to drink orange juice, the whole house was going to get a penalty. And he's like, "I just need a sip of orange juice. I just need to drink it." And he was like going up to Andrew and Kenny, and they were like, "Paul, so help me God, if you drink that orange juice, I'm going to kill you." He's like, "Guys, I need orange juice. I just got to have it. I can't take it anymore." And then he's like, "I just got to do it." And then he starts drinking the orange juice. And Andrew comes in, "Guys, he drank the orange juice. He drank it." And then everybody was like so pissed. And he's like, "Guys, it was a joke. It was a joke." But I mean, Paul's a lunatic to be on the block doing something like this.
Yeah, that's a bit risky. Bit of a risky play.
No one laughed at the joke.
I did. I did.
Me too.
What'd you think about Pop and Paul this week?
You know, fun side of him. Good to see that.
Yeah.
From someone on the block.
That was very good. Pop and Paul has moves.
He does.
Yeah. And Pop and Paul correctly was identified by Adele. And I have to say, I am I am really digging Adele. I think Adele is really, really good. He might be my favorite in the house right now, because he really is starting to understand the game at least a little bit here with his saying to Paul, "Hey, Paul, you got to stop dancing, because if people see you dancing, then they're going to think that you think you're safe, and then you're going to be voted out."
No, I agree. I like Paul. I'm sorry. I like Adele. I think that he adds a touch of humanity to the game. And I like that. I liked seeing – what I liked was after Paul had basically made himself a complete outcast, I liked that Adele can be the one that's like, I'm my own man. Like, I will still associate with Paul. I'll explain why it's wrong what he did, but I like that he wouldn't make him like a complete and total outcast anymore. I liked that.
Yeah. I thought Adele was very good, and then I thought he was good with telling John the story about the – the power of veto that he won. So I feel like Adele is a dark horse maybe to go all the way.
I have him pretty high up in my must win rankings, that's for sure. And you know, I will say with that veto card, it's kind of like how I believe Stephen Fishback said, the new playing the idol is not playing the idol. It's sort of like that. I mean, obviously it's a total bluff, but I think that it's a pretty good idea for the time being anyways to get him through the next few weeks, which could be a little bit dangerous since he's kind of at square one. He's a free agent in the game. He's useful to all but necessary to none. I think it's good to get him through the next couple weeks to at least help him with that. Obviously, it's going to come to light what the power actually is, but I think it's a good move.
Okay. One of the things that I'm not sure how much of a red herring this was and how much it was actually in play. There was a scene in the Wednesday night show where Aika got mad that Andrew told her, like, they had this big meeting in the HOH, and Andrew said, "Hey, this is what, you know, it has to be." And she was like, "Hey, I should just make a big move. I should backdoor either Kenny or Andrew here." And she ultimately didn't end up making that move. Was that an actual thing that was considered, or was that just sort of diary room bluster?
You know, I would say that it's something that was thought about, but, I mean, you know, the diary room will typically have you come up with a couple scenarios, even though maybe one of them's not something that you'd even actually consider doing. Though I would say that I think that Andrew completely owned her HOH. I mean, that's probably the best eating of another person's HOH I've seen in quite a while, since my own season, I would say.
Yeah. Brian, do you concur with that?
Yeah, and Aika agrees with Ian as well. She said the exact same thing. So,
yeah.
So on Thursday night, we finally also got to see some of the injury news in the house, and we finally got the explanation of why John was in a sling. How is Heather's knee doing, Brian? Do you have an update on that?
Yeah, she's moving around well, and she said it's getting better. So, you know, she's getting better.
Okay. And let's see. Anything else from the episodes before we jump into live feed stuff and start taking some questions?
There was one thing that I had with the Allison-Andrew connection.
Yes.
And about how she became closer to him. And in the show, they showed him just groping her butt, really. But I think they should have played the clip of her drilling him on his nomination speeches.
Oh.
Because if you remember, the war room heard this. It's one of the things they actually heard. And she had him recite everything to her exactly as he said it. And he was honest about it. And it seemed like from that moment on, that's probably when you get those DRs of her coming in saying, "Well, you know, I do kind of feel this," because he kind of proved his loyalty to her in a way.
I did think it was a little gratuitous, the shots of Andrew squeezing Allison's butt. Ian, how does that rate with Big Brother US? Was that one of the more gratuitous things that was ever in Big Brother North American history?
Well, I would say no. I mean, a little butt slap's nothing as long as it's, approved of. I think that's okay. I don't think it was anything bad. I would certainly say the little butt grab is, it's really nothing, right?
I felt like it was more of a squeeze than just a slap, though.
Well, it's a little grab. I mean, I would certainly say that's like, they've showed people making out in bed and stuff. I don't think that's I certainly don't think that's any worse than Eric and Lisa, for instance.
I don't care if they showed it. They should have just taken the time to explain the story.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Okay. All right. So I want to talk about the spoilers in the new HOH. Sorry. So we're going to bring in the spoiler section of the show. All right, so here's your warning. Okay, spoiler time, everybody. All right, so Brian, take us through what happened after we left the Big Brother people after the sideshow and all that stuff ended last night.
Well, Rachel wins the HOH competition.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Weight calibrated endurance bungee cords. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, so Ian, have you updated us on your what is the crush meter? Who is your pick right now?
Oh, right. Since Heather has since completely revealed that she does have a boyfriend, and I will say that I think other former Big Brother players have put the flag down and marked their territory on Rachel. I think that I don't think Andrew and Allison have a lot of gas. So I think Allison is probably where my head is at.
Ian, why don't you go for Netta? I feel like this would be the move for you.
You know, I think she's really hot, actually. But something tells me that she seems maybe a little bit more stuck up than I would typically go for. I could be wrong. I mean, it really all depends.
Yeah. I mean, you're going for the girl that's already in the showmance with one of the guys in the house.
It'll never last.
I guess you have a point. There's only for every Brendan and Rachel, there's another, Tom and Liza and all these other people that don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Amanda McRae, all this stuff. All right. Yeah. So, all right. So,
and I will say this. Allison should definitely have straight hair when I meet her.
Okay. Better. You don't like the 80s hairdo or the disco dress?
Yeah, no, ma'am. I think she's infinitely more attractive with straight hair. Much, much cuter.
Okay. All right. So, Brian, take us through the Rachelle HOH era. What is she up to?
Listening. She's been listening to a lot of people. And now if we're just going to go ahead and spoil the nominations. Right.
Yeah, where's spoiler time?
Ian spoiled them for me. I wasn't even realized okay, that already
Ian,
been made.
Well, then Ian give us the exclusive.
Well, it would appear that Heather and Allison have been nominated. So the two girls that I've been into are up on the block.
What? Oh my God. Allison on the block here. This is major news. So what do we think? Who is the target? Do we know? Is Allison a pawn or is she the target?
I believe she would be the pawn. I think that they know that the men's votes will keep her around, but I don't think Heather is necessarily the target either. As far as I've understood, there's a plan to backdoor Ika.
What? Why would Rachelle waste her HOH on backdooring Ika? These women are not good players.
Heather's fallback plan.
Yeah.
If we can't get rid of Ika.
Ika is the main target. I read this last night shortly before going to bed around 4:30 a.m. And I thought it must have been a typo on Joker's. I'm like, that can't be right. But then I was talking to another friend of mine today on the phone. We all know Mertz. We all like Mertz.
Yeah, sure.
I was talking to him, and he said that Ika is the target.
Brian?
There are other targets being mentioned by the guys. Or some of the guys. John and Adele have been working to get Andrew backdoored.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to happen.
No, but because the girls won't go after him for some reason.
This first five is the greatest alliance ever. They don't even have to win the HOH, and the people on the other side win the house, and they vote out the people that are also on the same side of the house as they are.
It's the same exact principle at work that made the brigade successful. The idea that there was an unknown power base with side alliances that each person that was in the real alliance was influencing so that they could get their desired outcome every single time. That's the thing. In the game, I think that the Brigade is the most successful for that reason, and this is the same exact general idea if you look at the alliance charts that's going on here, and that is, it's not how Arnold Shapiro figured the game would be played, but it seems to be the most successful way to play modern Big Brother.
Now, why are the women, why is Rochelle, because as far as I knew up until now, that she was in the alliance with Aika, why would they be targeting Aika?
From what I understand, it's Sabrina's influence that's getting that to happen there.
So Sabrina's like, oh, Aika said this about you. Aika said this about you.
And Heather had went to Sabrina and talked some about everything that Aika had been telling her, and Sabrina seems to believe a lot of it now and is repeating some of it verbatim to Rochelle.
Oh boy. Oh boy. This is not good. All right. Let's tell, speaking of Aika, Brian, tell me about, does Aika have any remorse about how the week turned out for her HOH?
Well, no, I think she's blaming Heather more than she's blaming Sarah really for the vote.
Why?
And, because she just hates Heather because of Sabrina. I mean, Sabrina has brainwashed her into hating Heather, and so she hates her. She called her a pimple-lipped bitch to her face yesterday.
How did Heather take that?
Heather didn't say – Heather, you know, if someone called you that, you might just, bam, put them on blast or whatever. But Heather just walked away, right? And Sabrina was there and laughed when Aika said it. And then Sabrina went to Heather and apologized for laughing, which I thought was nice. But Heather said it's not a problem.
Okay. Ian, I want to get your take on the game that Sabrina is playing. Do you feel like this is a game that could potentially have longevity? We saw it this summer. A lot of people doubted that Andy could pull it off. He was able to win playing this type of game and playing both sides against the middle. And did you hear what this person said about you? Did you hear what this person said about you? Do you think that we could see Sabrina go the same route as Andy and make it all the way to the end playing this way?
Well, I would liken Sabrina's game more towards Amanda. I feel like she's a little bit more upfront in what she wants. I think the difference is that Andy's game really worked off this idea that people would tell him on a regular basis, you need to be playing this game for you. And Andy, as any good Big Brother player should recognize, that's what you want to be told when you're in the house. With Sabrina, it's a lot less under the table and a lot less subtle than Andy's is, I believe. So I would liken it more to Amanda's. If that game gets to the end, I think it's worthy of a win for sure. The question is if it can get to the end, and I don't think that's a stable strategy. I really doubt that it is.
All right, let's jump into some questions because we have so many here, and Scott St. Pierre is putting them all together for us. So let's just take some questions as we start to filter our way through this. Sesson100 wants to know, is there ever going to be a woman who's going to come after the guys, mainly Kenny and Andrew? It seems like the girls are either too scared to put them up or working with the guys. Is there a woman in the house who, if she won HOH, would put up, I'm going to open this up, not just any woman. Is there a player in the house, if they won HOH, that would put up Kenny and Andrew?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Name names.
Adele.
Adele is the one that jumped out at me, but Aika. I don't know that. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, after last
week. Now week, she's, I, when I, she's I, HOH, I just, now she's going to do it.
Yeah, but I don't think Aika is going to be around to. At least not to my, you know, at least in my line of thinking, I don't think that Aika will be there to make that move or be HOH again to make that move. I think Adele maybe, but to be perfectly honest, I don't think he has any business going near HOH anytime soon. I think he's kind of carved out a decent spot for himself as a free agent. I'd like to see him play that for a while.
Can you guys go back to Sabrina talking about Aika to Rochelle? What is Sabrina telling Rochelle that Aika is doing?
That I'm not sure of. Brian?
I think I've missed it. I feel like I've missed a little bit here, but I know that what Heather's told Sabrina about everything that Ika told her. Really, one of Heather's only game talks of last week was with Ika, because she thought that this was her only friend in the house. And so Ika told her a whole bunch of stuff. And then Heather last night told Sabrina all about it. And Sabrina used that to start a fight between Heather and Ika. But then she turned around and went straight to Rochelle talking about getting rid of Ika. But you got to remember that Sabrina is anything to get rid, anything to help the first five. She's loyal to the first five still. You can, I kind of look at their votes, and when they flash the, you know, the first five, and the only first five member that's not doing it's Arlie.
Interesting. Yeah. Arlie's playing his own game. I think that if I had to pick anybody to win the game, I think I might pick Arlie right now.
Arlie is in the best spot. I'll say this. I think John is – I really like John's spot. It's a lot more subtle. I think personally hurting his shoulder might actually be one of the better things he's done for
himself.
It's
the Tyson.
It really is. I mean, you know, I feel like I'm – by saying this, I'm just – hopefully no other possible competitors are listening, but – I feel like it's just a great move to go in there and on the first challenge and Big Brother to just like, ow, my arm hurts, you know, carry a sling around, fake it. I'm just in love with that as far as just like a few weeks of, you know, a free pass. No one's going to go after someone like that. I love that idea.
See, I don't know if you could fake it. What if you really did it, Ian? What if you like really like took a dive in the first challenge and hurt your shoulder for real?
Well, as Janelle said, you know, this game isn't Survivor. If you break a finger, you're out of the game.
What?
I mean,
you break a finger, they take you out of Big Brother?
I mean, that's what Janelle said whenever Ashley was going into the DR because of her back being really, really bad. She said, this isn't Survivor. You break a finger, you're out of the game.
Why? Why, like, why would that be? Why do you have to have 10 functioning fingers for Big Brother?
I'm guessing that's an exaggeration because I can think of players that don't have 10 functioning fingers that did quite well, and namely Howie.
Can you stay if you chop your broken finger off?
I don't know.
Is she saying that if you have to go to the hospital, you're out of the game? Is that what she's saying, basically?
No, because Mike Boogie, I mean, I remember in Big Brother 7, cut his foot after the power veto that he won in week 4 and had to go to the hospital to get something with his foot. So no, I'm thinking that if you injure yourself a little bit too badly, you're out. But I mean, it could vary from country to country, but I do like John. You know, I think the sling, it's whether it's intentional or not, which it's probably not intentional, I think it's a great move.
So just so I have this straight, okay, broken finger equals out, turkey slap equals in.
Turkey slap equals out. Those guys were kicked out. There were John and I believe Chris was the other guy's name. I just looked it up.
So turkey slap, those guys went out after that. I thought they said they stayed.
No. They were immediately out. It was John and Ashley was the other guy's name. Wait, it was the guy.
The guy was Ashley?
Yeah, John and Ashley.
Now hold on.
Chris was
the replacement.
Can we go
back to the TS one more time? So there were two guys? Does that denote two? Two TSs?
Okay. I have it up right here. Turkey.
They flanked her.
Is that what happened?
Her turkey slap, Big Brother 2006. I can't.
All right, we'll research this out.
Okay. One held the one down, and the other one.
Okay, yeah. Well, then
one held her down, and the other one slapped.
Yeah, well, that's no good. Okay.
John and Ashley.
Okay.
Chris was the replacement for John.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Alternate turkey slapper. Let's
go to Bad Insect. Is Sarah experiencing any backlash after siding against the girls when voting poll? That was my next question that I wanted to ask. So how has the house reacted to Sarah's not voting with the girls?
There hasn't been much fallout for Sarah.
Not much backlash.
Why not?
I don't think Rochelle cares.
Yeah.
But why? I don't understand. What game are these people playing? Like, isn't this how Big Brother works? If somebody switches their vote and then there's a whole thing. Who was the hinky vote? And do they know that Sarah was the one that didn't vote with them?
Yes, it's known. The votes are known.
Yeah, it's very clearly known.
Okay. And nobody's worried about this?
Sabrina's not worried about it. Ergo, all the girls aren't worried about it.
But why?
Yes. Sabrina has complete mind control, and she's working with Sarah. She's not going to throw Sarah under the bus.
I guess
it was their plan. It was their plan, you know.
Ian, how far is Sabrina getting in this game?
I will give her 7th or 8th place, early jury.
Early jury, okay. So around that Amanda slot.
Yeah, I would say right around there.
Okay. All right. Let's keep
going. I mean, I have my rankings right in front of me. Must win, not longevity, but I have my must win rankings right here.
Must win is the must win the HOH or must win the game?
Must win the entire game.
Okay. Who must win the entire game?
I have one. John is my number one.
Why is it called a must win list?
Because it's to differentiate from who will last longest. It's in order for this to be correct, they must win the game.
Okay. So John is one?
John is one. Two, I have Arlie. Three, I have Adele. Then a big gap, huge gap. I have Allison, Netta, Kenny, Sarah, Rochelle, Sabrina, Andrew, Heather, and then dead last, Ica.
Okay. Oh, that's a pretty good list. I can't disagree with those rankings very much. I think you must, it's almost like you're a Big Brother winner. You do know what you're talking about.
I mean, I like to think that I understand the general theory of the game. I mean, application might be a bit shoddy, but I think I understand the theory of it pretty well.
I did like when Netta said in her farewell words that said, that it's Big Brother 101, that you don't win the HOH in the first week.
I disagree with that ever so strongly, but yeah.
Why? You know, it is. I know people say, oh, Hayden won. At least Donahue won the HOH first week.
Oh, okay. Well, we've had 14 iterations of the game, and the first HOH has won 3 times. So that's definitely above what you would expect, right? And I don't think it's a bad position as long as you play it right. And to be perfectly honest, as far as I'm concerned, I think most people's fear in going into the game, at least it was for me, I just didn't want to be the first one out. And I mean, I caught a break where Jody went pretty much immediately, but I didn't want to go early either. So for me, I think winning the first HOH is fine. It gives you a chance to at least make a few deals.
Catch your breath.
And anyone, the thing is, first week, anyone can go. It doesn't matter. I don't care how good of a player you are. We've seen many people that end up winning the game being in a lot of hot water in the first week, whether it's me, Adam Jasinski, or Dan, where we're sweating it out in week one and we go on to win the game. So, I mean, I think anyone can go, and I think there's a lot of people that went in the first week that had a lot of potential. Mike Lubinsky at the top of that list.
Okay. All right. It's a fair point. That's not how I would play the game, but that, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
My thinking is that it's the first week is the easiest week to just play dumb.
Yeah. I think
if you're HOH.
All right. Go ahead, LeBron.
I feel like what we see in the first HOH is like all the game players are throwing and all the competitors are trying to win. And then when they win, you get the game players coming at them and trying to influence their HOH. And a lot of times they're able to do that. So I think that causes some problems for the first HOHs.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's keep going. More questions. This is from Joseph Rodriguez, who wants to know, Rob, what do you think about the Rochelle defenders, a.k.a. Peter Brown logic, that by doing this move of backdooring Ica, she can get in with the boys who are the majority and continue to float through the game? I had not thought of this. What do we think? Is this a valid defense of what Rochelle is trying to do? Would that, if she got Ika out of the game, would that get her some sort of immunity for the next 5 or 6 weeks by getting in good with the guys who control the house?
Well, I mean, for me, the idea here is I really don't see it as guys and girls. Do you, Brian? I see it more as the first five looking to clean house.
But as far as Rochelle knows, it's guys versus girls. She doesn't know the first five.
That's true. As far as she knows, it's guys versus girls. And if it can keep the heat off her, that's fine. But I think that if it were to be guys versus girls, it's great because you know, the guys are they're going to cannibalize. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to be in it. I mean, actually, that's BS. I'd go to the Final Four with anybody and not care about it. But I think that the guys would like to have an easier road, so I'd like to think they'd start cannibalizing each other.
Brian.
Eventually, right?
Right. What's the question again? Can I get that?
Okay, so the question do you agree with what Peter Brown has said, that Rochelle's move here is actually a strong one to get out Ika because she's somebody that the guys want to get rid of, and by doing this move and showing that she has mutually aligned interests with the guys, this actually keeps Rochelle safe for several weeks? And I have to say, the more I talk myself into this, I actually do think that this is a good plan, because if Rochelle makes, let's say Rochelle says, okay, my nominations are Kenny and Andrew. Now she becomes public enemy number one. She puts those guys up on the block. Probably one of them wins the veto. Maybe there's a possibility that neither of them end up going home. And now all of a sudden, it's almost guaranteed that she's going up on the block sometime in the next couple of weeks. Whereas if she puts Ika up, does what the guys want, if somebody's coming for Kenny and Andrew, these guys are not making it to the finals with each other. At some point, this is going to implode. And Rochelle might live to see it this way rather than if she directly goes after those guys here in week four.
Right. It's kind of almost, I mean, when you were talking about it, it almost made me think of the Aaron situation where she kind of gave up the power to
Helen.
The big alliance to Helen or Aaron. I'm just telling Aaron. But anyway, giving up the power so that to the alliance that's going to win next, so you're not going to get targeted. So she may be able to get some weeks of safety out of it. But I'm not sure that she didn't have weeks of safety already, and that throwing it might not have been the best option for her.
What do you think, Ian?
Well, I mean, I'm always a pretty big advocate of throwing, and I certainly don't think Rochelle is near the top of anyone's target list. So, I'd have been down for it. I thing is, I didn't see how the HOH shook out. All I know is that Heather dropped out first. I have not seen any HOH footage. I just know Rochelle won, and that was the end of it. Now, Brian, I'm sure you're more abreast on this topic. Could you maybe give us the down low on how it went down?
I don't really know much. I know that they showed some of what happened on the sideshow.
Okay.
One thing that struck me about it before the episode went off was the thing about this weight calibration. And Rochelle had said something, I don't even know, but Arlie screamed out. It was like Rochelle said that it didn't even affect her when they cranked the thing and started screaming about them trying to fix the comp and stuff. And then lo and behold, Rochelle wins. I'm not a fan of this weight calibration.
Well, yeah, but why would the show?
Another thing I wasn't a big fan of, Colin Stone pointed this out. If you all know Colin Stone, good podcast. He noticed that in the squirrel veto thing, the way that the lanes were set up was almost a triangle in such a way that Andrew was unable to like look off of anybody else's answer board, but those in the back could easily look off of everybody else that was in front of them because it was set up in a triangle where Andrew is right here, but other people were further back. So he couldn't see anyone else's answers, but everyone else could.
But why would Big Brother Canada, just for like, let's, you know, engage with the conspiracy theories for a little bit. First of all, why would Big Brother Canada want Rochelle, of all people, to be HOH this week?
No, well, that's the thing. I really, it doesn't make sense.
There's no reason why they would, why that would help the show. And so, then also, why
it's more than likely just a personal, I guess, maybe pain tolerance, I could say, where I think that maybe Rochelle doesn't notice these things. Maybe someone else that's of a different shape or size might feel it more. I really don't know. If the weights are even, to me, it should be pretty even. As someone that understands physics, I really don't think the body size has anything to do with this one. So I'm not really sure on that.
Dweezler BB in the chat says, and Rochelle's a yogi like Alyssa, so she's in good shape. I think it makes sense that she would win an endurance comp.
And then there you go. That might be it. Going in the Big Brother house, do your yoga.
Do your yoga. Okay. Let's go. More questions. This is from Vinella123. Brian, on the live feeds, do Kenny and Andrew walk around the house with a superiority complex like they seem to have on the show? Is that being fairly depicted?
Superiority complex. I mean, it's the game of Big Brother. Most of the house guests have a superiority complex. You know, you want everybody else out of the house and you want to win, right?
Okay.
So, yeah, everybody walks around with a superiority complex, okay, except for Heather.
All right. Then here we have a new Kia FTW. Ian, who is the worst player in there? Is it Ika?
The worst player currently in the house is...
You said Ika had the worst chance to win, so that makes her...
That's not necessarily true, but I would say she's the worst one in there. She had all the power, HOH and Vito, couldn't get out a pretty simple target, and it's too early to be that out of the loop. I mean, I think maybe a basic grasp... Here's the thing, man... you can say what you want about me not knowing if you're out there. And it's like, well, Ian didn't know what was going on in the last 25 days. There was never an eviction result where I was like, oh, wow, that is not who I expected to go. I at least knew on the surface who was going to go out the door every time. And to be HOH and veto holder and not know that shows a serious flaw in your understanding of what's going on around you, because you have all the power, yet you can't use that to influence it to get what you want. That's a problem.
Gary Levy said maybe her weave was on too tight.
Maybe so.
That's what he said. Okay. I like Ika. I still like her.
I don't see her winning this game.
I want her to stay. I'm a Ika fan.
She's quite boring to me. I think there are other pretty exciting characters. And I mean, I think Rochelle is very interesting. I do like her. I think you know who I like, actually? I like Sarah. I think she's interesting. I think she's funny and a sweet girl.
Okay. I like this whole cast. I have to say that I think they've done a very good job here at the cast of Big Brother 2. I feel like that there's really no duds here in this cast.
It's a good set. I'll say it again. I've said it once. I'll say it again. The Big Brother Canada casting reminds me of the olden days of Big Brother US, where like Big Brother 3, I think, was probably the best cast that there's ever been on that show. And every single person was at least somewhat likable. And I feel like that's the case here.
So now it's the same people that cast Big Brother Canada and Big Brother US. What's the disconnect here? Is it because do you feel like CBS is like, hey, Robin, we need more beautiful people. Get me more Mactors. We need more babes. Whereas they're sort of like able to just go with whatever direction they want to go for Slice.
Yeah, you know, I actually think that's what it is. I think that when it really comes down to it, I've noticed in the recent years, Big Brother US casting, the contestants they pull out are more sort of like caricatures. Right. Like, you know, the nerd stereotype, right? Spencer and Judd are like the hillbilly stereotype. You know what I'm saying by that? Like they're very almost cartoonish.
Two dimensional.
Where I feel like the Canadian cast are more fleshed out, a little bit more operating on a lot of different levels, kind of like the old Big Brother cast were that we saw in the U.S.
OK. All right, let's keep going. A few more questions here.
Not that there's anything wrong with the current casting. I think it's just a different direction. That's all.
Okay, good. Good save.
It's not, no, I mean that, honestly.
All right. Let's go to cinemastyle.ca, who says, Sabrina seems to have some heavy mileage when it comes to gossip in the house. She's got the busiest mouth. How long can this strategy work? All right, so Ian already said he thinks that he predicts a 7th or 8th place finish for her. Brian, what about you? What's your prediction for where Sabrina gets off the Big Brother train? Is she in the jury?
I would think so, but at the same time, I kind of feel like that this kind of strategy could blow up on her any moment, and she could become the target at any moment, just if she screws up. So I would say that it could take her all the way to the end of the game, especially if the first 5 stay together. But I would say that she probably gets into jury barely.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to work out for her. I don't see her going the distance with this.
But. Yeah, well, when there's not as many people in the house, there's not as many stories to contradict what's actually happening, and people will begin to figure out what's truthful and what's not a little bit easier, possibly. Ian may be able to comment on that.
No, I mean, it's all on the percentage. I mean, I didn't find it any easier. I found it harder to figure out what was going on at the end, believe it or not. I mean, I could see clear pathways to victory just based on maybe not understanding exactly what people's intentions were, but I was at least able to think, well, if I do this, so-and-so has to do this. Like, there's no other option. Like, this is what has to happen. Whereas now there's only around 5 or so people left where it kind of started to make a lot more sense. But earlier than that, I found the early jury part to be the toughest. And I think we see a lot of good players go out around 7th to 9th for that reason exactly.
Okay, let's go. Let's do 3 more questions, and then we'll wrap this up. Okay, this is from WMNJI64. Marion Adams, that's easier. Are you aware of the live feed controversial bigotry comments? The John and homosexuals comment? All right, Brian, bring us up to speed on the latest developments here. We always follow the Big Brother controversy. What's going on now with John?
Well, John had said, I mean, I didn't see it, but it happened, that he was something about girls in a cup, something faggots is what he said, but everybody was like gassed at him. He immediately started apologizing. I think he was trying to make a joke, and he's pretty down on himself about it, and Anetta got with him and tried to tell him, you know, you apologized for it, and he was saying, I feel so bad. They're going to think I'm, you know, an asshole or whatever. So Anetta said, you know, you apologize for it, just try to get over it and just keep playing your game in a better way.
Yeah. Was he talking about 2 girls, 1 cup?
I don't know exactly what the conversation was, but it was just like, you know, one of those jokes that he would shoot off at any moment. So I think it was just something that just came flying out of his mouth, and he realized that he shouldn't have said it. And honestly, I mean, Adele didn't apologize when he said that word, and I'm giving him a break on it. So John definitely going to get a break after apologizing.
Okay. Mallory Beasley has a question. I think this is a good one. Wants to know, Brian, who is getting the most inaccurate TV edit? My guess is Andrew as a gamer, smart, nice guy. Who has the biggest discrepancy between the person we see on the TV show and the person you see every day on the feeds?
I don't know that I see that Andrew's getting that edit, though. I mean, do you see that he's a smart, nice guy at it? Or maybe it's just because I watch the feeds.
I don't know. I think he was shown in a positive light with his relationship with Allison. But overall, I feel like he's seen, I think, a little bit bullying the house.
And he's all gropey and stuff with Allison, too. That's not a nice guy edit.
Ian?
I just was checking out the chat room. I did know Shane was going to go. I was shocked that the plan worked, but I understood that was the intention. So that's not bad. I didn't know that was going
to
happen.
Yes. So Ian is referring to earlier in the show where he said he knew what was going on the whole time in the house.
Not that I knew the whole thing, but I at least knew the surface.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, Dan had tried to get you to – Dan had told you basically and tried to get you to agree to throwing the first part.
Right. Right. It was right after the veto competition. He's like, keep your head up. There's a chance. And I he's like, just keep acting like you're acting. And I'm like, I'll put my eggs in that basket. Like, I have nothing else to go with right now. So I tried to talk strategy with Danny, and she shut it down immediately. Yeah. So I was like, okay, just put your eggs in that basket and hope for the best.
Don't worry about it, Ian.
I know. Did the check clear?
Did the check clear? That's all you need
to
worry about.
The check clears. All right. Yes.
So let's do two more questions. This is from Keith Dixon. Kenny's goodbye messages are pretty brutal. Is he not worried about a potential house guest coming back into the game? Let's talk about Kenny here. Is Kenny a good player or a bad player, do you guys think so far?
Average.
Average. Brian?
I would go there too, because he's definitely considered one of the bigger targets in the house. Not good. But he seems to have a good social game in a way where he can manipulate people, which is good. So I think that kind of cancels out, and you have to put him at average, right?
Yeah, I feel like that he talks a good game, and he talks very intelligently, but I don't think he's actually a good player. I feel like he's not making the moves that a good player would be making, and he seems to be.
My thought exactly, and I think he's been a little bit too excited about winning competitions that he has no true winning.
You know who he reminds me of a lot so far, Kenny? A guy from my Survivor season is Alex Bell, and he really does remind me of Alex Bell. And he talks a really good game, but I kind of feel like he's not just 100% on where his head should be in the game.
Right.
But his mannerisms, yeah, like if you put a beard on Alex Bell, I actually think he would look a lot like Kenny also.
You know, I think Kenny is, I'll say it again, he's about as average as we can get. We saw promise early, but drifting a bit.
Yeah. All right, let's do one last question. This is from the great Fecal Matters wants to know, is the Anderson showmance real? Brian, is that for real?
Andrew and Allison.
Yes.
I think it's developing, you know. I mean, to begin with, it wasn't. Then Allison had that, you know, little loyalty test for him or honesty test for him. And I figure she's probably letting him in a little bit more because of it. But yeah. I don't think she's going to fully embrace him as a love showmance unless it's on down the line and they have developed a lot more trust in each other.
I hope Allison hangs in there this week. I've been very impressed with her game.
I think she'll be fine. I don't think she's going anywhere. I can't imagine a situation. I can't think of anyone she'd be nominated against besides one of the guys where she's going to have trouble.
Yeah. Okay. I hope she'll be okay. I really do. Yeah. Okay. All right, so we are going to be back on Tuesday with another recap of all of the events over the weekend. And, of course, we'll know who wins the veto. We'll have a good sense of who's going home by the time we come back on Tuesday for you guys. So plenty to catch up over the weekend, I'm sure, as we continue to move forward in the Big Brother Canada. If you want to stay updated on the live feeds and you don't have time to watch, of course, you could follow Brian on Twitter. He's at LynchMGM. He'll be tweeting all the time about what's happening on the live feeds. And of course, you can follow Big Brother winner Ian Terry on Twitter at Tulane Terry. And a lot of people were asking in the chat room, Ian, how's the new job going?
Well, I actually haven't started. I don't start until I do a little training for the job in July. And then the school year will start up in August. So I have a few months off.
Okay. So you will be watching plenty of live feeds this summer.
Absolutely.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
Well, this is very exciting.
Got a little bit, a couple months, a little vacation before I hit the real world. So it's good.
All right. Well, that's good news. Looking forward to podcasting about the Big Brother 16 all summer long. All right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So plenty of podcasts coming your way. Survivor and Amazing Race all happening. It's a perfect storm of reality TV happening right now. So you can check out all those shows on robhasawebsite.com. And of course, you could subscribe to our live shows on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. And to get the audio feeds of all the shows we do, for the main feed, go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, or for all of our shows, click on the podcast tab on robhasawebsite.com. All right. So have a great weekend, everybody. Plenty more to do here as we continue moving forward with Big Brother Canada. Have a great weekend. Take care, everybody. Bye.